Well, finally, we have a U.S. MCA trade agreement. United States, Mexico, and Canada. Good news. Very positive for agriculture, but also positive for the country as a whole. Now, I haven't read all the details, but overall, I'm impressed with what I've seen. New market access is being granted to dairy, poultry, and eggs in Canada. President Trump deserves credit for winning significant concessions from Canada. And since this was done at the midnight hour, it kind of reminds me back in July when I had a conversation with the president about, it was about the vacancy on the Supreme Court. But when you have a 15 meeting with the president, you know, 10 different issues come up. So eventually ethanol came up, and he was talking about keeping his promise to Iowans on ethanol. And then I said, well, people really are more concerned about trade. And he said something along this line. Well, the longer you negotiate, the better deal you get. Now, I would have never thought that Canada would give in on their dairy supply management program. And because I've been meeting with Canadian parliamentarians over the last year three or four times, and they said that's something we're never going to give on. And it looks like they've given quite a bit in regard to that. There's also updates for digital trade-related intellectual property and rules for data transfer. There's also a new section setting standards for state-owned enterprises. This is, by all accounts, a high-standard trade agreement. It will provide increased certainty for farmers and manufacturers in the agricultural business. After the agreement is signed roughly 60 days from now, it will be then up to Congress to review it in detail and decide if it can be implemented. And it has to be passed by both houses, but just by majority vote. And it's one of the few things that can't be filibustered in the United States Senate. So we'll get to a vote with certainty and do it with 51 votes. President's success of the USMCA shows that his administration is capable of rewriting trade deals and rebalancing unfair trade agreements. This is the second time, including South Korea. And I would suggest to Beijing that China should take note of the president's insistence on getting things done in the trade area. He's been pretty successful so far. Just think, reopening with Europe after we had threats of tariffs coming from both directions. Remember that Japan was never going to open up bilateral with the United States because they wanted to pressure the president in getting into TPP after he pulled out a year ago. And he has that arrangement going with Japan now. So the president's policies that were poo-pooed pretty much when he first got to office or during the campaign, that they just wouldn't work and he would never accomplish it. It looks to me like people, including Chuck Grassley, that had doubts about it, have a little crow to eat. Now, on a different topic, the 2014 Farm Bill expired Sunday. While this isn't an ideal situation, farmers shouldn't be too worried yet. Commodity programs, crop insurance, and existing CRP programs will operate like normal through the end of this calendar year. By the time we get through the lame duck session of Congress after the election, I have no doubt that Congress will have either passed a new farm bill or extended the current one for another year. Tom Ryder.
The presenter has allowed participants to unmute themselves. You can now unmute yourself by pressing pound 5.
Let's go to Mark at Brownfield.
Good morning, Senator. I have a couple questions about the USMCA. One is, do you see Congress approving that agreement? And secondly, What do you see us building off that agreement?
I don't know whether anything has to build off of it, except that it shows that the president's got insistence. He's got success now with a new Canadian-American-Mexico agreement, and with South Korea opening up bilateral with Japan, which Japan said they'd never do, opening up bilateral with the European Union, which a year ago nobody said we'd ever accomplish anything there because we'd been trying for 5 or 6 years. So I think he's building off of the successes, already building off of them. But nothing's more specific as far as Mexico, America, or Canada, America is concerned. And, yes, I think Congress will pass it. Brownfield?
Yes, good morning, Senator.
No longer muted.
President Trump indicated yesterday that he sees some complications ahead with Congress ratifying the USMCA agreement, and you touched on that. So you're confident that there won't be any hiccups as it goes through Congress?
I think particularly with the old NAFTA, now the USMCA, that with everybody saying what was wrong with NAFTA, and you want these trade agreements to continue, common sense tells me you're going to get a majority vote in both houses. If you had to have 60 votes in the United States Senate, I guess I'd have some doubt. Dick's Steimel at Farm Bureau.
Thank you, Senator. Do you think that with these trade agreements starting to roll in, that you'll see a response in prices and farm income?
In some areas, yes. But you got to remember these bumper crops that are coming in from corn and soybeans is going to depress prices quite a bit. But what it's going to do for farming is take a lot of anxiety out of farming, and presumably we haven't had this controversy so long that we permanently lost markets, like a lot of soybean and corn farmers and beef and pork were concerned that you work for decades to build up markets, and then you have restrictions put on those markets. People, countries elsewhere are going to go elsewhere for their soybeans, let's say, as one example. And maybe this is short term enough that's not going to happen. Chuck Abbott.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. We can jump back to the Farm Bill for a moment. You said that you were certain that by the end of the lame duck session, Congress would either pass 2018 Farm Bill or pass an extension. Is that a way of saying that you're not sure the 2018 Farm Bill is going to get completed by the end of the year?
Well, either the House gives up on food stamps. I haven't figured out any compromise between where the Senate and the House is, so it means the House backs off, and they don't seem inclined to do it, and they're encouraged by the president not to do it. But we're not going to have no farm bill for next year. At least that hasn't been the pattern for the last 60 or 70 years. So we'll reenact the 2014 farm bill like we did in 2013 with the 2008 farm bill. Common sense tells me that, or precedent by the Congress tells me that's what we're going to do. Another big factor is, can you believe what Conaway's trying to do? Rob the wheat farmers and the corn farmers and the soybean farmers of their base so he can get more for cotton. Cotton just got $1 billion through another action of Congress here in the last 6 months. When are they ever going to be satisfied? What does it take to satisfy the cotton farmers? And then look at what he's done to payment limitations. Took them all off. Just like you can be a billionaire Wall Street banker and still get farm payments. Spencer Chase, Matt Kay, Kara Hart, somebody from Bloomberg.
Senator, this is Spencer Chase. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry about that. My phone was accidentally muted. Wanted to talk about the payment or the tariff assistance plan from USDA and the USMCA. USDA has previously said that if there's some agreements announced, they might tweak the amount, the payment rate allocated to producers in the second tranche of payments. Would that be something you would support given the finalization of this trade agreement this week?
I think it's more related to what China's doing to bring down the price of particularly soybeans. It has more to do with than what Canada and Mexico does. Now, in regard to pork, Mexico's involved, and it depends on whether Mexico takes off their thing. So, that's 232. That's a different approach. That's national security. So I think as long as those threats are out there, we still need to continue this. But let's wait until January to ask that question.
And on the subject of 232, President Trump said yesterday he's planning on keeping those tariffs in place. Do you agree with that decision?
The best way to put that is, and I don't might not affect the existing arrangements that the president's doing, but I think that Congress needs to review the president's authority under 232, and I'm leaning towards supporting Portman, Ernst on their bill on rewriting 232. That was Spencer Chase, Matt Kay, Kara Hart, Bloomberg, are you on here? What about Ellen Ferguson at CQ?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for having the call. One of the issues that Canada is trying to tie to the just-announced revamped NAFTA are the 232s. They've got protection from potential auto tariffs under 232 and side letters in this agreement. But they also say that they believe that they should be have the tariffs lifted on steel and aluminum. You know that they have negotiated the agreement, and in return, they've shown they're good trading partners, and therefore they should have the tariff lifted. Do you see a connection? Does Canada's argument make sense? Do you see that being a sticking point, perhaps, that other lawmakers might press the administration on as they review the trade agreement, that we'll make progress on the trade agreement if you lift the Section 232 tariffs on Canada and Mexico?
Let me answer your question with two parts. Number one, I've already stated that I think 232 under that 1963 trade legislation gives the president too much authority, and I would support what Portman and Joni Ernst are trying to do to change that. And I like their approach. I don't think I've signed on yet, but at least that's what I'm thinking about doing. Now that's not going to affect what the president's already instituted in regard to Canada and steel and aluminum. I see our economy so integrated on manufacturing that it was a mistake for the president to put those tariffs on. I'm speaking just about Canada and Mexico because of the integration. I'm not saying any place else he's put 232 on. Maybe I might say the same thing, but you just asked me about Canada, and that's all
I
want.
Yeah, that's all I was focused on.
As far as I want to go right now.
Do you consider Mexico to be so integrated in our manufacturing that they should have their steel and aluminum tariffs lifted?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Senator Grassley, Kara Hart with the Red River Farm Network.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about President Trump's upcoming visit to Council Bluffs, Iowa next week. Yesterday, he gave a shout-out to Joni Ernst in his discussion, saying he's looking forward to the meeting next week. I wanted to get your perspective. What can you tell us about the EPA's announcement next week? What is the status of the E15 discussion?
I don't know, but let me. I can give you some background that may back up what you're insinuating in your question. But the reason I can't give you anything definitive because I don't know anything definitive. But I've been impressed in the last month, so I'm not talking about just yesterday when this prospect was announced and all sorts of predictions of what might happen in Council Bluffs next week. But in the last month, I've been very impressed, maybe even going back 6 weeks, very impressed with the amount of conversation I or my staff has had with USDA, with EPA, and with the White House on some sort of a compromise on E15 12 months out of the year. But do I know that there's going to be such an announcement? No, I don't. Okay, that was Kara Hart. I've gone through the entire list.
Senator, it's Ari Nader from Bloomberg. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I mentioned Bloomberg before, and you never came on.
I'm sorry. I was having trouble unmuting my phone.
All you guys are saying you have problems muting your phone. All you got to do is push a button.
thank you, Senator. I wanted to ask about, I also had a question about a possible E15 announcement. It's expected to be paired with other RIN market changes. What's your view of position limits for RIN traders and even limiting who could trade RINs, just the obligated parties?
Well, I want to tell you what the situation is today and what it was a year ago when this all started. RINs were 80 cents. Last week they were about 10 cents. I don't know what they are today. And there is a up and down market there, but it seems to me that the refineries were complaining that they were going broke because of high RIN prices. RIN prices are down now. They've gotten what they've wanted, and still ethanol and farming hasn't gotten E15. 12 months out of the year that we started out to get. So I've advocated for RIN reform and for transparency for years, and I can give you some actions I've taken as far back as 2013 in regard to it if you need any sort of thing. So I'm after a victory for ethanol and farming that hopefully the White House is going to announce before the end of the year so we know. So we know by next summer that we can sell E15, 12 months out of the year. And one thing I can tell you, that if EPA is going to do something on transparency, that's very much welcome. And if position limits help fix some of the problems, I'm going to be okay with that as well. But I can't say any more than what I said, is that there's been a lot of discussion between my office, including Ernst's office, between USDA, EPA, and the White House on this issue, and I just hope they move very quickly, because it takes a long time when you do things by regulation to get them out for comment period, at least 90 days, sometimes 160 days, and by the first of the year, the ethanol industry ought to know that they can operate between June 15th and September, I think June 1st and September 15th, as well as the rest of the year.